I'd like to share with you a story of how this principle is actually implemented in 1998 in a global experiment. It was actually a vigil of prayer. Actually, I participated, another author, Mr. James Twyman, and another author, Doreen Virtue. The three of us participated in organizing through the World Wide Web a vigil where we left the instructions for precisely this modality of feeling, this lost mode of non-denominational prayer, upon a website so that everyone could access it. And they, to some degree, they had the instructions for how to feel the feelings of peace in their hearts rather than asking that peace come to pass in our world. We weren't praying for peace to occur. We weren't asking for peace to happen in any one particular location. We weren't saying, let there be peace in Israel or let there be peace in Africa. We were inviting people throughout the world to simply embrace and embody the feeling of what it feels like and give thanks, gratitude, and appreciation for the peace that already exists in our world. And by virtue of doing that, to open the door for the possibility of greater peace. Well, the vigil was held in the evening. It was about 7 o'clock in the evening, Eastern Standard Time in North America. What we know from the statistics later on is that at least 83 nations participated, and several hundred thousand people on a global basis participated in this prayer. Well, the next day in the newspapers, we saw some amazing things being reported. And one of the most prominent was on the cover of the New York Times as well as the San Francisco Chronicle. There were stories that the evening before, and no one knew that this was happening, this wasn't announced. The evening before, then President Bill Clinton had authorized the United States to begin bombing runs into Iraq, specifically into Baghdad, during that time because of a breakdown in the weapons inspections. So the warplanes left their bases. They were carrying their ordnance, their weapons, and on the way over to their targets, then-President Bill Clinton issued a very rare order, a military term that's called stand down. It was a stand down order that simply said, return to your bases with all of your weapons intact. And what the newspapers were saying was it was a mystery as to why this had happened the way that it happened. It made no sense. The Western nations had spent tremendous amounts of energy and time and money and personnel getting everything in place to go forward with this bombing run. And seemingly, for a reason that appeared miraculous, the planes just turned around and came back. Now, statistically, as a scientist, I cannot say to you that those planes turned around in midair and came back because of a global vigil of peace, on the one hand. And on the other hand, what I can say to you is this. If the correlations are so high, when we see time after time, case history after case history of precisely such events occurring, and the fact that this order was given during the prayer window, it was given during the hour of time, the 1 hour of time when the world was simply feeling the feeling of peace, I think that those statistics are important, and at the very least, we must say there's an effect, and there's an effect worth study and consideration. Because what the studies are showing is that in the presence of peace, all that can happen is peace. In the presence of a field of global peace, that's all that can unfold in our world. I've been with groups as large as 3,200 people where we have invited people in the audience. We've shared with them this information and we've led them through a process where they embody the feeling, not the thought, but the feelings of peace in their hearts. They give thanks of appreciation and gratitude for the peace that already exists in our world. They're not praying for peace to happen somewhere. And then in the experiment, we've had people outside the room who were very angry. And we've invited those angry people to come into the room of 3,200 people and remain angry. And the most interesting thing happens. Because in the experiments that I participate in, where we've done these things, the people will come in from outside of the room and they say it is the strangest, the oddest feeling. Because they walk into the room and in their minds, they're able to think the thoughts of the conditions and the situations for which they have been angry in the past. So the mental image is there. However, they say they cannot get to the feeling of the anger. They simply cannot be angry in that field. And I'm not surprised, because in the presence of peace, I believe all that can happen is peace. You've probably had similar experiences. I know you felt this before. You may be engaged in very animated conversation. You're walking down the street, chatting away, meeting with a friend you haven't seen for a long time. And together, you walk into a church during a service. And immediately, you are no longer animated. Immediately, you feel the power of the field created by what is happening in the hearts and minds and people in that church. You're affected by that field. I believe something very similar happened the night of our global prayer vigil. The key to this prayer vigil is that the people throughout the world, for the most part, and admittedly, I mean, there are some people that probably learned to do this better than others. Some people were more serious about it than others. And the point is that many, many people, several hundred thousand people, were participating. They were not praying for peace to occur. Because if you recall the wisdom of my friend David, he said, when you ask for something to happen, what you're saying is it's not already there. So the evening of our prayer vigil, we were not asking for peace to come to our world, and by doing so acknowledging that peace doesn't already exist. What we were doing was simply giving thanks for the peace that we already feel in our hearts, because there's always peace in our world somewhere, and by that way opening the door to greater possibilities of peace.